Harbor Commission meeting, Tuesday, April 2nd, 7:00 p.m., Borough Hall, 100 First Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. This meeting is called to order. The regular meeting of the Atlantic Highlands Harbor Commission is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Tourer Times and by posting it on the bulletin boards in the Harbor Office and Borough Hall reserved for such announcements, and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2024. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cosar.
Here.
Ms. Forbes.
Here.
Mr. Kern.
Here.
Mr. Krabs.
Here.
Mr. Slater. Mr. Stein.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Administration, approval of the March 5th, 2024 regular meeting minutes.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cosar.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Kern.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Mr. Stein.
Abstain.
Mr. Wall.
Yes. Approval of March 5th, 2024 executive session meeting minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cosar.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Kern.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Mr. Stein.
Abstain.
Mr. Wall.
Yes. Payment of bills from March 14th, 2024, in the amount of $82,788.27.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Cosar.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Kern.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Mr. Stein.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes. Payment of bills from March 28th, 2024, in the amount of $71,660.44.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Mr. Cosar.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Kern.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Mr. Stein.
Yes.
Yes. Unfinished business, harbor facility use procedure update. The Borough Council Recreation Committee and Harbor Special Events Committee continue to work on streamlining the process, and hopefully we'll have a report back on that. There's no new business correspondence consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, the commission may remove that item from the correspondence and consider it separately. The Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club Race Committee will be hosting their 20th annual Miss Race on Saturday, August 17th, 2024. Also, Tom Chiazza, on behalf of the Sandy Hook Little League, is requesting the use of the senior building to offer a Rutgers safety course for coaches on March 27th. And Betty Vandeventer, on behalf of the Atlantic Highlands Historical Society, is requesting use of senior center and the surrounding parking lot for their annual outdoor flea market fundraiser to be held Saturday, September 14th, with a rain date of Saturday, September 21st.
I'll move to approve all of those requests.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cosar.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Kern.
Yes.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes.
Mr. Stein.
Yes.
Yes. Committee reports, finance, Mr. Curry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the month of March, the rental receipts collections caught up, and we are now March year-to-date compared to the prior year, up 7% across the board. So that's a good indication that the year continues to move along strongly on budget. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Leases, Mr. Kraus?
Yes, Mr. Wall, I have a couple of things. First, last week the council approved the annual renewal of the lease for the Hess lot, and so that we can continue to use that for trailer parking on weekends and C Street for parking during the week. Secondly, on March 22nd, Mr. Wall and I met with the shareholder, the tenant of the Shore Casino and her broker at their request to answer their questions related to a possible transfer of the lease. Next, just to kind of flesh out the my report last week, last month on the on how leases were going with the boat owners, and also in line with Mr. Curry's report on the increase in revenues. I just want to run down some, maybe do this once a year, some of the numbers that the Harbor Commission gets on a monthly basis. And there's a, bear with me for a second, because there's a little bit of, there's a lot of numbers here. Piers 2, 3, and 7 are now 100% rented for the coming year, which basically started this week, April 1st. Piers 4 and 5 are 98% rented. They each only have one slip available at the moment. Piers 8 and 9 are 95% rented with vacancies respectively of 2 and 1. And Pier 1, 91% rented, only 2 vacancies. So out of 366 slips on floating docks, there are only 10 vacancies. The two fixed piers, Frank's Pier is 74% rented with 22 vacancies, and Pier 6, 64% rented with 14 vacancies, which is not a, really a bad thing, because the harbor gets a lot of transients, so the harbor staff will be putting transient boats into those slips, and will continue to get some significant revenue out of that. The moorings are 91% rented, only 16 vacancies out of 171 slips. Land storage, 100% rented, 130 spots. Personal watercraft, probably the one laggard, but it's not a very big revenue source. Out of 14 slips, we still have 7 available, so it's only 50% rented. So I think that's a good indication of two things. One is that the harbor staff's doing a great job at getting those slips filled, doing a great sales job, and also that the entire harbor crew is doing a great job making the harbor a place that people want to be, and that they're just renting them up because we provide a great service. A little bit on the downside, we're down to only 3 headboats now. There is a possibility of a 4th. Somebody who's been speaking to the harbor staff, who's in negotiating with possibly buying a boat within the next couple of weeks, and we're holding one head boat slip available. This year, we will not have a problem filling the rest of the empty headboat slips because there's a construction fleet that's will be coming in and using those slips. And also one other point of interest, we have a new 55-foot charter boat on Pier 1. Somebody who appeared before the commission last year that said he was interested, a young man, and we hope it's somebody who will be here for a long time. And then, bear with me a little longer, and this is really related to the headboat situation. One of the reasons that the headboats fleet for the entire New Jersey coast has dropped is because one of the reasons is because the fishing restrictions have been more onerous. The last month they did come out with the new fluke regulations. Some good, some bad. The good is that they picked the longest fishing season, 145 days versus 149 last year. There were some options that significantly reduced that. The downside is that they eliminated the slot regulation. And now all the fish that, the only fish that people can take have to be 18 inches or longer, which, in my opinion, that's not too smart because those are well over 90% females. One other good thing is that the fall sea bass season opens on October 1st, so there'll only be 5 days when the fishermen cannot fish on either fluke or sea bass, and they have to fish on porgies. So that works out well. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Kraus. Personnel, Mr. Curry.
No report this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Operations, Mr. Sutton.
Just one item. Mr. Flieger has been in touch with C Street to discuss and they start the piling work that we talked about for about the last 4 or 5 months. And we're told just, I think, last week that it should start the end of April. And I'm trying to get a time frame on just how long the work will take. So hopefully next meeting I'll have that information. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Clean Marina, Ms. Forbes.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Just a reminder that the next beach sweep is April 13th, and Lou is not here, but he asked if we needed a dumpster. We do need a dumpster in the usual spot, so I can send him an email and follow up. That's all.
Thank you. Special events, Mr. Colasurdo.
No, the report earlier today.
Okay, thank you. Reports, Administrator, Mr. Farragina.
No report this evening, Chairman.
Thank you. Attorney's report, Mr. Cannon.
Yes, members of the Commission, as we had discussed at the last meeting. Lou's not here, but Lou's been working to get rid of some surplus property. I prepared two resolutions and for the push boat and for the hydraulic trailer to get rid of them from the yard, and the council approved those, so Lou's going to be moving forward and getting rid of those. We have another, as far as property that's not surplus or not titled to the borough that's on the marina property, we'll have a further discussion in the executive session about that.
Okay. Thank you. Harbor manager's report and the assistant manager's report. Mr. White?
You have Lou's report. It's not that long. And well, as far as the bulkhead project, I believe we went before mayor and council for approval. And that's moving forward now. We're just waiting for CMB with a plan. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Now is the public portion part of our meeting. If you'd like to address the commission, please raise your hand, state your name and address. Yes, sir.
Joe Pasco. I'm Bill Silver, Director of Club Road. I'm here on behalf of
Lancaster John Club of Commodore. Just wanted to thank the first responders on their year and great and very judicious response to the little fire that we had in the alley. Really mitigating the damage to the building overall. Lou was great in helping us out, restoring essential services. Really, thank God it wasn't cold out, but we got whatever the city could get back up, got it back up the very next day. It was very helpful in making sure things were still working. Happy to say, God permit, so we should be rolling along to get the alley closed.
Well, great, thank you. I appreciate your feedback, and I know that. You know, we'd like to thank you as well, because I know the Yacht Club, you guys did a lot of things in those next couple of days and had all the people out there, and that takes a lot of coordination and you know, together we'll get through it. But thank you for your feedback. Okay, thank you. Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 9130. I'm going to give you chances of your apartment as you
okay. Rich, do you have the copy of that?
Yeah. It's three lines.
You want me to read? You want me to read that before
sure.
you go? Just, okay.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I have renewed our liability insurance with our insurance carrier. The men's and ladies' bathrooms below the harbor office have been spray painted and repainted, and the new electrical connection has been installed in the harbor office for the upcoming interview.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple items. Last year, an email to you, Mr. Wall, in November, I know that the Councilman Murphy was absent for the September meeting. You made the comment that Mr. Murphy had reached out to you saying he couldn't come to the meeting because he hadn't been able to. In the October 2023 minutes, it was documented that Murphy voted to approve the September 5th regular meeting minutes for a meeting he did not attend. Making matters worse, Murphy also voted to approve the September 5th executive session, which he also was not present to attend. And I never received a reply to my letter. From the February posted minutes, it was noted in the minutes that asking for Councilman Forbes and Commissioner Press. And during the meeting, neither one of them were called, obviously, because they were not present for other items that needed to be on. In Mr. Wall's administration portion of the meeting, he asked for approval of February 5th, February 6th, 2024, regular meeting minutes. When Ms. Forbes was asked, she approved, she said yes, Mr. Krause abstained. In the subsequent vote for the executive session meeting, Ms. Forbes abstained, and Mr. Krause abstained. So I don't understand how people that were not here again voted to approve meeting minutes that they did not attend.
Okay, I
so
will.
Twice in the last 6 months.
Understood. So, you know, our attorney can and obviously add to this, but according to the Roberts rules, a member's absence from a meeting does not preclude that member from offering corrections to the minutes or voting for their approval.
Then why do we bother asking for a vote?
I don't understand what the question is.
If the vote means nothing, we still make changes, but why do you need to take a vote to approve the minutes? I mean, the minutes were approved saying they were correct, and they weren't correct. But no
well, you're saying that somebody voted that shouldn't have voted, is what you're
correct.
Saying.
But the minutes were approved saying the next month, the minutes were approved saying that everyone voted yes to say, except for Mr. Krause, because he abstained.
Everybody has a right to either abstain or not, but they're not forbidden from voting because
the
they were not at the prior
the
meeting.
The minutes were not correct.
Well, then that would be everybody that might have missed it. Did everybody vote to approve and the minutes were
did
wrong?
Did everybody read the minutes? I don't know. I don't know that. And only go by the way you vote.
Okay. Well, the answer to your question is that if they are absent, they're still permitted to vote. That's
the rule. Yeah. I mean, the vote is not that you witnessed everything that occurred. It's that you accept it as a record of the body that you're a part of. A lot of people abstained because they feel they don't have the personal information to know what the minutes match what happened, but there's nothing that legally precludes them from voting. As to the minutes being, you're saying the vote's recorded wrong on one of the minutes, right? Everyone that does that. I mean, that's obviously not not ideal, but what does an abstention mean?
Yeah.
Well, it can mean a lot of different things in different contexts. There's actually case law and a lot of different
things. Yes means different things now, too, but we won't go there.
But, yeah, I mean, yes means yes in the parliamentary context. You know, an abstention in cases filling vacancies has been held that it's a no vote, or it doesn't count, or cannot be a non-affirmative vote. In other contexts, it counts as a non-vote. Robert's Rules actually leaves it up to the body to determine it in terms of its internal procedures. So it doesn't actually, it gives you two different options. But in any event, the one thing I did hear in your commentary was that the minutes were incorrect in recording the vote. And we'll have to look into that, because that's not, you know, there's no interpretation on that.
Last year, again, I sent a letter to Mr. Wall, Chairman of the Commission, related to publicly offering the opportunity to make public comments for actions immediately following the executive session. That was on July 5th. The minutes state, regarding Mr. Fisher's June 8th letter, this was discussed with the chairman, and the letter is under review. In the minutes, it states that myself, commented that he would like the ability to comment after last month's executive session, being that a vote took place after we returned to regular session. Mr. Wall said that this would be discussed. On the recording, it was stated that most executive session items voted on should have been agenda items. I said that, or the public should have been given the opportunity to make comments prior to the vote. There was a long discussion. Mr. Wall stated the letter is under commission consideration. He also stated he sees benefits of public discussion as well when discussed in executive session. And for the subject of having the harbor master report becoming part of the posted minutes, Mr. Wall stated we can take that under consideration. This year, February 6th, last meeting, two meetings ago, I stating that I had some procedural questions regarding the Harper meeting agenda. There was detailed discussion involved. It was decided that there would be further discussion regarding the agenda procedure in executive session that night. I also discussed this correspondence in the consent agenda item, which was item 8 on the agenda. And there again, I stated that the public has had no opportunity to comment prior to any voting at Harper meetings, unlike the council and the planning board members. Mr. Wall stated that we'll have to look into that. The open public meetings law stated one opportunity, Mr. Cannon making this comment, one opportunity must be set aside for public comment. Many boards and another for opportunity to comment on agenda items. It was stated we could discuss that in the executive session to make a decision. Mr. Wall stated the public should have an opportunity to comment. Mr. Cannon stated the commission knows what the action is prior to the executive session, and perhaps that could be added to the agenda. Mr. Wall agreed. The following commission meeting on March lasted only 14 minutes. In that meeting, there was no reference to any of the agenda or procedural discussion that February. And certainly no answers to my, Mr. Wall's, or Attorney Cannon's suggestions. There was not even a confirmation that the discussion was held about him in the February executive session. Mr. Wall, you often make comments welcoming public participation since becoming chair, and I sincerely believe you. The give and take of commission business in public in the sunshine of transparency is not only the right thing to do for this and all public meetings, but it's the law. However, multiple times I have suggested improving the opportunity for the public to have additional honest and open discussion at this meeting, and promised repeatedly that they would be considered, reviewed, discussed, but have never been acknowledged after the fact. If you all have discussed the items and have concluded that I'm absolutely out of my mind for even asking for certain clarification and the opportunity for the public to speak to the business of the commission, that's fine. But to never circle back with the courtesy of answering multiple requests is very frustrating. So this is an attempt, once again, to get the answers to all of my requests that started last year. I request that the Commission consider and provide your decisions on record for the following four items. Correspondence are correspondence. Consent agenda items are consent agenda items. Each should be addressed separately. The list of correspondence with the board should be noted on the agenda if that's what the Commission members wish. If there is any action to be taken from a correspondence or for any other reason, they should be addressed specifically as a consent agenda item. Number two, the Harbor Manager's written monthly report to the Commission in its entirety and its current form and level of detail, especially, should become public record as part of each month's meeting minutes. Number three, adding a second opportunity for the public to make comments and ask questions on the agenda items only early in the meeting prior to any actionable agenda items being ordered by the Commission. And lastly,
Excuse me. Could you just repeat that for me, please?
Adding a second opportunity for the public to make comments and ask questions on agenda items only early in the meeting and prior to any actionable agenda items. That's what Mr. Cannon suggested.
Okay.
That if any word that other boards that he deals with that he added. And lastly, adding an opportunity for the public to make comments and ask questions on actionable items required as a result of immediately following the executive session, any executive session, prior to any commission vote on the item, which happens very infrequently, but still the public, in my opinion, should have the opportunity to ask questions. And then after the February meeting, it was mentioned that the questions that I asked would be addressed in executive session. Why would those questions rise to the level of the executive session? It's not personnel, it's not lawsuits, it's not real property, it's just a discussion about changing the protocol of the meeting. So I don't think it rises to the level of requiring discussion in executive session. It should be discussed here.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. I will just to I agree and I appreciate you bringing these up. I have no problem with that at all. I should have been more thorough and unfinished business. The Harbor facility use procedure is something that you brought to our attention with regards to having being able to comment prior to that. So that's what we are discussing and currently determining if we were going to have additional public comments and where. So I will look at this, address it, and I will give you the feedback, either personally and at the next meeting.
I'm frustrated, Mr. Wall. I don't like to not get answers on the things that I bring up.
Understood.
But I also think that the questions that I ask doesn't rise to the level of meeting. A secret meeting to come to an answer that should be discussed right here in public.
Okay.
All right.
That's fair enough. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to address the committee, commission? No, go ahead, sorry.
Harold Smith, 31 City Hall Road, Red Bank, New Jersey. The bulkhead, I know you were talking about the planning of it. What is the thought process on when that will be done?
So, preliminarily, we're looking at the next 3 to 6 months, and the reason that time frame is so big is because the engineering firm is looking at various different variables in terms of who the subcontractors will be, the estimated dates of when their goods, items will be available. There's a lot of backlogs and items and what have you. So unfortunately, I can't provide a firm date.
Just food for thought, wouldn't it be better to try to do this maybe in the fall or before the winter time when the harbor is less crowded than 4 years ago? Shut the ramp down between Father's Day and 4th of July. Just doesn't make sense to think that that should be done at a time that's slow. There may be some restrictions that weather may not help, but you know, starting in July is probably not.
Yeah, and so I can't speak on what took place 4 years ago. I wasn't here. But your points are well noted and appreciated. I'll share them with CME Engineering, and you can take that consideration when you're working with the subcontractors and their schedules as well, and then, again, the items of goods and everything else. But it's a fair point. And
the next question is, who will be overseeing that project?
Who will be overseeing? Well, CME is really the entity that will be managing the process, and
they will be doing the final inspections, signing off on saying everything's okay, and it's okay to build, you know, it's okay to pay their final bill, so we don't end up in another lawsuit like we did with the Togo building.
So I'm not sure how to answer that question about the towboat and what have you. So our personnel on site that will be assisting with personnel would be Mr. White over there. Okay, I'll be involved as well. And that's my answer.
Okay. Third question is, I know you've discussed, I've spoken with Mr. Krause. Yeah, on the deck, as has been told that they have to redo their deck every year. You fiberglassing and doing it, I'll be going to make sure that that is done so we don't run into the same problems we did last year. As you guys all remember, Father's Day, putting up fiberglass and we had to close our deck to smell and people laugh, and it was a harsh. So are we addressing that, or are we just going to wait until they decide to do it and say, oh, they should have known that they're not problems?
Should I answer that? Mr. Flieger has been asked to speak to the proprietor on the deck. In fact, he was supposed to do that today, but evidently he had a medical problem and he's not in. But he will follow up with Nick and make sure it gets done. Certainly not on Mother's Day or.
Can I ask if that's the leasing downstairs that we be notified, give a week's notice that doing it so we understand, not that somebody just shows up?
Certainly. We'll make sure that happens.
Fair enough. Absolutely. I did see an email, Mr. Smith, that said, it was a joke, but it said, not on Easter or Mother's Day, you know, your 1 year follow-up. So they have taken the steps already.
And it does have to be done, I forget what temperature is, but they need at least a certain number of days at a certain temperature so it cures properly. Maybe 2 or 3 days. I think over 50. Can't get below 50 for that period of time. So it's got to be, couldn't be Easter this year because Easter came early, but it will, probably be sometime in May, but we'll make sure that you're aware of it.
Those types of jobs, construction jobs we have are better in the harbor than the businesses down there are not as busy. Obviously, you know, being seasonal businesses, you have a certain amount of time to make your money. When you lose days in it's
right, but at the same time, they do have to wait until it gets a little bit warmer so that that the deck does cure properly. And I'm not positive, but I don't think it will involve any actual fiberglass. It should just be gel coat, so there shouldn't be any fibers floating around. So that should be a good thing.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the... go ahead, ma'am.
And
this is not, yes, any criticism of you, Mr. Wall, because I do think that you do try to make everything as public as you possibly can. But Mr. Fisher brought up an interesting point, and you said that, yes, you would discuss this and get back to him at the next meeting as to whether the next meeting is a second hearing so that the public can be heard before action is taken. Why can't you have that discussion right now?
I'm not prepared to have that conversation with them at this point.
What's it going to take to prepare you for the conversation?
Well, I'd like to have somebody, committee members, work on it as well. I'm not a dictator, so I want everybody to have a say. A committee, obviously can't have a quorum. A committee, make a recommendation, and we can come and discuss it and solve it, hopefully by next meeting.
Would it be better to have the whole commission discuss it in public so the public knows what you're
Well, that's what I'm saying. The committee will make a recommendation and we can discuss it as the commission in public.
And you name a committee for this?
No, I'm not going to name a committee. I'm going to determine which committee would work on preparing us for the pluses and minuses of whatever the decision would be.
So which committees would it be?
I don't know that right now.
The other thing that's important to note is that there's there's not an enormous urgency for this. We haven't had any action after executive session since the time this came up last time. There was some disagreement amongst the commission how to handle this, and so I believe we agreed to figure it out the next time it came up. This is now Mr. Fisher has brought it up again, so we'll work on it, but that's, there's also an alternate way to handle it as well, right, which is just to list any potential action that could happen after executive session on the agenda, and then just have the agenda items only public comment, which is the same difference. So,
but the one part just seems like such a simple question, and it's already done by other boards in town. Why can't you just have an open session before you take action, an opportunity for the public to speak before you take action? What's to discuss about that?
I don't feel that I can answer that question right now without really thinking about it a little bit more. Mr. Fisher brought up a lot of items there that are going to dramatically change the agenda and the amount of times people speak, which we can determine what that will be. And I'll commit that we'll have a response by the next meeting.
I suggest he gets some input from Mr. Perugino, because he goes to both these meetings and he knows what it's like to have the public speak twice.
Well, he's actually asking for three times, but that's okay. Understood.
Well, the only thing I was asking for is this is one of the three.
Understood. I understand it, and I apologize that it hasn't been brought up, but I want you to know that I've been thinking about it. Maybe I should have assigned it to someone sooner.
And Mr. Cannon, I just wanted to ask, or I wanted to ask Mr. Cannon, if you could just repeat the fact that council members or commission members who are not here can vote on minutes of meetings that they did not attend.
Yes. Well, because you're not voting as that you witnessed what happened. You're voting that the minutes are being accepted by the body as an accurate record of its proceedings. So there's not, someone could listen to a recording and then vote on the minutes. Most people abstain because if they hadn't had a chance to listen to the recording, they don't want to approve minutes that they weren't here for. But it's a personal preference. It's not a legal requirement.
I just don't know how you can vote for something happening if you want to hear what happened.
But you don't need to be there, Muriel. If you listen to it on an audio recording, you don't necessarily need to be present to understand.
But it's also, in the first instance, it's not a vote that you witnessed what happened.
Right.
It's just a vote that you're accepting the records at, just like you could vote to accept correspondence. Some bodies do that. Some people haven't even read some of the correspondence. But it's an action as a body. It's not an individual affirmation that they witness is something,
And recordings aren't always
I'm just saying. I understand.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Fisher.
So
sorry, Mr. Wall, I meant to ask this before, Mark Fisher, 91 Ferry Avenue. The second court you got under consent agenda, Tom Piazza, on behalf of San Diego Public League, is requesting use of the senior building for the Rutgers Safety Force.
Right.
Is he being charged for that?
I would doubt it. It's, that's our little league. He's gonna...
No.
Okay. Because I was gonna suggest, I think the council made a requirement that coaches involved with our recreation program to take this Rutgers Safety Force and go to the building.
Right.
That is a requirement for San Diego, the volunteer coaches. You have to have a Rutgers Safety Force.
No, I'm saying for the rec program in town, the coaches and the assistants, I guess you'd call them, also to have that safety force. So would it be a good way to allow Mr. Piazza to also offer to the coaches to
confirm that he's one of the hardest volunteer workers in this town?
What's that?
He's one of the hardest volunteer workers in this town. He single-handedly almost does the fair itself.
He even comes to my fair and everything towards the prior.
I know he does, but thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Executive session is next on the agenda.
I'll make a motion to enter into the executive session.
Is there going to be any action taken? No action taken. Do you have a motion to enter executive session?
I'll make that motion.
4 seconds.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're going to break for executive session. There'll be no...
There will be no action taken following executive session. Executive session will be about 25 minutes. And... we'll be back out after that.
Hello. Do I have a motion to leave executive session and go back into the regular meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any
second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any opposed? No. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.